You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On. You get 20% off your next order. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy second episode of Locked On Wolves in the new year and a new week for the Timberwolves. As always, hope springs eternal at the start of a new week for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They have lost another game since the last time we published an episode this weekend, so they're now 0-2 in the new year and 2-4 on the young season so far. So today, I want to talk about Wolves Nuggets from Sunday. What went right? This is actually, despite the, I guess, somewhat pessimistic opening, it's going to be a pretty optimistic podcast. Yes, the Wolves lost by 21 to the Nuggets on Sunday, but they were leading headed into the fourth quarter, and I'm not a big silver linings, good losses, moral victories type of guy, and there were some of those comments post-game from the Timberwolves players, specifically one player in particular, but I do think that there can be some silver linings, some positives. And even if that means instead of getting killed for 40 of 48 minutes, you only got killed for 12 of 48 minutes. I think that's still a step in the right direction, even if the result was the same. So I want to talk about that. The game overall, obviously studs and duds, and then a couple of notes related to the Timberwolves as well. Tuesday's show, we'll talk power rankings from around the NBA blogosphere and the internet as a whole, as well as preview Wolves Nuggets for Tuesday. Of course, the same opponent that the Wolves just had 24 hours ago, but or I guess the games are 48 hours apart, but we'll talk about that a little bit on Tuesday's show as well. Before we get into the show today, though, a quick reminder as always, you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere that you get podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So I'll just hit kind of the notes that I jotted down throughout the game, kind of the game flow, and then get into studs and duds and kind of the main things that I pulled out of the game. So the Wolves started this game with a different starting lineup, and there was a bit of method behind the madness to the way that the starting lineup was constructed. And this was courtesy of Chris Hine, the Timberwolves beat writer, of course, for the Star Tribune, had some notes about the Wolves lineup and how they arrived at where they did. Basically, the idea of starting Ed Davis instead of Naz Reid was to help keep Naz Reid out of foul trouble against Nikola Jokic, and then also to try and help Russell play it. D'Angelo Russell, you know, I guess get jump started because he's had a rough couple of games, as I've talked about pretty extensively on the show, by playing with his former teammate Ed Davis. Of course, they were together in Brooklyn, and were excited to play together again. Juancho Hernan Gomez was also in the starting lineup for the first time this year. So the Wolves had a lineup, the first time that they've used this lineup to start the game, of D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jarrett Culver, Hernan Gomez, and Ed Davis at the five. The first subs of the game, Ricky Rubio, Naz Reid came in. D'Angelo Russell got two personal fouls pretty early in the game. And the Wolves were down 20-9 at one point early in the game. Naz Reid actually drew consecutive offensive fouls on Nikola Jokic almost on consecutive possessions. There might have been a couple possessions in there. So somewhat ironically, the Wolves didn't start Naz to keep Naz from getting into foul trouble trying to guard Jokic. And then they bring Naz into the game, and Jokic immediately gets into foul trouble trying to, I think one was on a post move. He kind of elbowed Naz in the face, and the other was on an offensive rebound attempt. Jokic shoved Naz in the back. So he ended up going to the bench, and the Wolves played really well when Jokic was off the floor and actually made a push, ended the first quarter on a run, I think like a 19-9 run. And then in the second quarter, the defense really picked up. Denver did well kind of around the time Jokic came back in the game. And then the Wolves played extremely well at the end of the first half, and ultimately were only down by 7 at halftime. There was kind of this window in the second quarter where the Wolves were within a basket. Actually, it was 42-39, and the Timberwolves had the ball on a fast break. Naz Reid dribbled the ball down the court and probably should have passed it to a guard, but he dribbled the ball down the court. Facundo Campazzo, the guard from Brazil, who the Wolves went after in the offseason, he ended up going to Denver. My guess is that the Wolves, this is just speculation, if the Wolves had not traded for Ricky Rubio, I bet Campazzo would have been in Minnesota. But at any rate, Campazzo has kind of stepped in and took a pass and crash pass and crash charge on Naz Reid. Naz dished it to Jake Lehman for a dunk, but as the ball was going through the hoop, the officials called a charge on Naz Reid in the open floor. It was the typical pass and crash, which is almost always a terrible call. And it was bad in this case, not just because it's not a real basketball play, but also because Naz didn't even run over Campazzo. He actually spun out of it and barely glanced off of him. It was certainly not an out of control type play. He had complete control of what he was doing. And it was after the pass, and he, you know, again, spun off the contact. So it could have been 42-41, Timberwolves within one. Instead, the Nuggets come down and get a three on that possession. They go up 45-39. They extend the lead to 51-39. So that quickly becomes a 9-0 run right after the pass and crash call. And then the Wolves are down 7 at halftime. Jamal Murray already had 26 points at halftime. The Wolves just really struggled to slow him down. Jokic should have 3 personal fouls, though, and the Wolves' second unit especially was really good defensively in the second quarter. Naz Reid, Ricky Rubio had good first halves. Anthony Edwards had 4 assists at halftime, was just awesome in the first half. And Beasley at 12 points at halftime was really good throughout this game. Then in the third quarter, with the Wolves down 7, they actually outscored the Nuggets by 8 in the third quarter. D'Angelo Russell had a great third quarter, was creating for others. He had like 4 or 5 possessions in a row where he just had phenomenal passes. The Wolves had a couple of really impressive runs. They had a 12-4 run, and then later in the third quarter, a 10-0 run. D'Angelo Russell had a steal and a 3-pointer in transition, and it was just really, really good. Towards the end of the quarter, they took him out for Rubio. The Wolves were still up by 1 at the end of the third, but then ran into some problems in the fourth quarter, I guess would be putting it lightly. In fact, from the end of the third through the first part of the fourth, Denver went on a 20-2 run. Minnesota was up. Minnesota was actually down 1 when Russell left the game late in the third quarter. And then when he came back, the Wolves did take a couple of brief leads, including at the end of the third quarter. But when Russell came back about 5 minutes of gameplay later, a little under 9 minutes left in the game, Minnesota was down 8. So Rubio had a much better first half than Russell. Second half, Russell was the engine that made the Timberwolves go in the third quarter, especially. And then by the time he came back in, they were already down 8. And from that point on, the Nuggets offense was just clicking. Jokic was back on the floor. He was dishing. He got his triple double again. And the Wolves defense just completely broke down. So it's tough to second guess taking Russell out of the game too much. He had to come out of the game at some point. And, you know, maybe they could have gone back with him early in the fourth because he was playing so well in the third. But Saunders didn't even really have Rubio and Russell overlap minutes very much in this one. And I'll get to this later, but Jordan McLaughlin didn't play very much. The rotation was a little bit strange in that sense. But overall, this was just a case of the Wolves playing solid in the first half, staying in the game, staying within 7 points to a really good team. And obviously Jokic's foul trouble helped a lot. And then locking in the third quarter, Beasley, Russell, the guys that you need to lead the team, especially with no Karl-Anthony Towns, played extremely well in the third quarter, up 1 going to the fourth, and then the wheels came off. And yes, it's frustrating. If the Wolves were, you know, if this were 20 games into the season and the Wolves were around the 500 mark, this would be much more frustrating. But the fact that we had 3 quarters of competitive basketball, you know, that's a positive thing. I guess it says a lot about how bad the Wolves have been lately, but it also is important to note that there can still be positives, even if it's not the whole, you know, it's not truly a moral victory in any sense, but it is progress. I think both can be true. It can be progress without it being considered a quote unquote moral victory. So at any rate, that's what happened in this game. The Wolves had a shot in the fourth quarter, but just simply aren't playing well enough together yet to make it a realistic, to make beating the Nuggets a realistic proposition. Now they'll get another crack on Tuesday. So we'll see how that goes. We'll talk more about that, of course, on Tuesday's show. Next, what I want to do is talk about studs and duds from this game, individual studs and duds. Before we do that though, let's talk about our great friends at betonline.ag. Are you ready for playoff NFL football? There's 3 games this Saturday, 3 games Sunday. They're calling it mega or super wildcard weekend, something like that. So plenty of games to bet on. Even if college football is over, there's plenty of NFL, of course, daily NBA action to bet on. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust here at Locked On, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Games of the week, every week for the NFL, college basketball, obviously NBA. There's plenty of action to bet on, futures bets, all that good stuff. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on said action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's promo code Locked On for 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year, I'm sure you're betting on betonline.ag, and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk studs and duds from this game. Already kind of hit the high and low points. In terms of individual performances, studs in this game, look no further than Malik Beasley. He was fantastic. I started writing an article for Dunkin' with Wolves late last week and was going to talk about how Beasley was running into form, and basically he needed the Wolves to be able to run their offense in order to be successful, but it wasn't really his fault that the offense was bad so far. And then since I started writing the article, he's progressively played better over the last three games. This game, he had 25 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 10 of 16 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. So he was 7 of 11 inside the arc, made both of his free throws, had a couple of blocks and a steal in this game, and was easily the best player on the floor for the Timberwolves. Played 38 minutes. Nobody else on the Wolves played more than 30, which, by the way, Russell and Rubio didn't share the court at all. Russell played, I think, briefly for like under a minute. Russell played 30 minutes. Rubio played 18. So it'll be interesting to track that moving forward. Now, Jordan McLaughlin only played 6. So, you know, you would think that McLaughlin is going to share the court at all times with one of those guys, but generally it would be more than 6 minutes. Beasley was playing so well, though, he didn't come off the court hardly at all. And he was scoring within the flow of the offense. He was putting the ball on the floor a little bit and even getting into the painted area. He shot a couple of mid-range jumpers, which he's good enough at. That's not an issue within the flow of the Wolves offense. He was solid in transition, really active on the glass. Obviously, he was motivated to play against Denver. I think it's the first time, maybe the second time he's played against Denver. I think he played against them last year after the trade once. So he was motivated to play well, and he did. He played extremely well, was very, very active, and that's a huge part of what the Wolves need out of him. I mean, out of a little bit of an undersized two guard, especially if the Wolves keep playing small so often without having a true power forward on the floor, they rely on everybody else to rebound. And Rubio and Russell are both good rebounders at the one. So to have Beasley, who for his career is not a great rebounder, since he's been with the Timberwolves the 14 games last year and the 6 so far this year, he's been a very good rebounder. He can get 6-7 rebounds a night. That would be a pleasant surprise. Plus the 5 assists to 1 turnover is great too. Didn't commit any fouls, was actually solid and pretty active defensively. So all in all, a really good game for Malik Beasley. The other stud is Jarrett Culver. He had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 8 of 13 shooting, only made one of his 4 threes, and it was in garbage time that he made it. Unfortunately, he missed 3 open threes, mostly open threes, when the game was still somewhat in the balance. He was 3 of 6 at the free throw line, so he's regressed a little bit there, but certainly shows more confidence, was more active, tried to throw down a couple dunks. One was on an offensive rebound, and the dunk just rimmed out. The other was in the half court, and he was fouled and went to the free throw line. So overall, a really good game for Culver. He played 28 minutes and made it hard for Saunders to take him off the court. So good game for Culver. A nice bounce back after a couple of not quite clunkers, but you know, uneven games. He had the 0 for 10 game a couple times. I think it was against the Clippers last week. So overall, played a little bit better, which is definitely positive. I'm only going to go with 2 studs in this game. There were a couple other players who played really well. Anthony Edwards, especially in the first half. Ryan Saunders actually said in his media availability, both after the game and then on Monday morning, that he thought Edwards played his best game as a pro. His line is just okay. 5 points, 4 assists, a steal. He did have 3 turnovers in 23 minutes. He only attempted 4 shots in 23 minutes, was 2 of 4, made 1 3 on 3 attempts. I'm not going to give him a stud because the volume just wasn't quite there, and there were some slight defensive lapses as well. But Saunders is right. It was an encouraging game. He had one just insane pass where he went behind the back and whipped a left-handed, one-handed pass. I think it was to Naz Reid for a lay-in. There was another couple that led to fouls. Just a generally impressive game from Edwards, and he definitely played well. Naz Reid was also very good coming off the bench. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 6 of 9 shooting. He did ultimately get into foul trouble again. He ended up with 5 personal fouls in this game in just 23 minutes. But for his second straight, solid game. I'm actually only going to give out 1 dud as well. I mean, the Wolves as a whole played a lot better, and there wasn't really anybody that stuck out as just horrendous in this game like we've had the last few. Juancho Hernan Gomez is going to be my 1 dud. It's tough because he actually played better. He was more active. He, I'm sure, was also motivated to play well against Denver. He had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists in 26 minutes, and that line alone is a huge improvement off of what he had been doing. But he did shoot 3 of 10. He was 0 for 3 from 3. And after he'd missed the first couple threes, he was clearly very tentative on the perimeter. I had Nemanja Bjelica and and Jeff Teague flashbacks of him being open and not squeezing the trigger. And it's, you know, the Wolves are paying him $7 million a year to shoot 40% from three. And he's got to attempt threes in order to do that. And yeah, he was 0 for 3. But if he's not shooting and making threes, he drove into the defense a couple of times. One time made a really nice play in the paint and scored. But generally speaking, he's got to do more than shoot the ball 10 times and only three of them be threes and miss all three threes. He's got to do more offensively. He's got to be less tentative. Him as kind of a hesitation pump fake and then a tentative dribble, you know, trying to get around a defender on the perimeter, that stops the Wolves offense and it's not helpful. He's got to either move the ball or shoot the ball. Those are the things he's got to do. And if he can be a cutter some of the time, great. But him putting the ball on the floor is usually not a recipe for winning. And while this was a step in the right direction, I thought he was one of the players that struggled the most on the floor for the Wolves in this one. Ricky Rubio had a poor second half stint. I'm not going to give him a dud for it. He played well in the first half, but ultimately was 3 of 7, missed all 3 3-point attempts, and had 4 assists, only 1 turnover, but just 2 rebounds, 6 points in 18 minutes. And again, the Wolves were down 1 when he came into the game late in the third, and then they were down 8 when he came off the floor in the fourth. Certainly not all his fault, but it just was a little bit of an uneven stint for Rubio in this one. All right, next I want to talk about some of the quotes that came out of the post game and Monday morning's media availability, a couple of the rotation related things, and then also injury updates as well as we look ahead to the rest of the week. First, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly like a candy bar. It's better than ever, new and improved, new packaging, new logo, new taste. There's 18 total flavors. 6 of them are brand new. Trust me, they're just as delicious as the original 12. The 6 new ones are caramel brownie cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious. Believe, even though it tastes just like a candy bar, you can lose weight or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. Every single bar is low calorie. They're also low in sugar, but high in protein and high in fiber. Perfect if you're on a keto diet. Still, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, as mentioned, later this week, we have plenty of games to preview Tuesday and then a couple games against the Spurs coming up. Haven't seen the Spurs yet this year, so we'll talk about the Nuggets and the Spurs quite a bit. Tuesday, we're also going to talk power rankings league-wide from a number of different sites as we did last week, and we'll be doing probably every Tuesday here moving forward. And then also kind of dig in a little bit on the Wolves offense. As much as the defense has been a talking point over the past however many years, the offense has been the issue so far this year, at least up until the fourth quarter against the Nuggets on Sunday. So we'll talk more about that later this week as well. All right. Kind of combing through some of the post-game comments provided by the Timberwolves, specifically by D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo had a quote, and I'll just read what John Krasinski of The Athletic put on Twitter. He said, this is Russell said, quote, "I don't think we're ready to win yet. We're still figuring out how to lose. Sounds crazy, but the way you lose says a lot about the team. Today, how we lost was a good way to lose." He also then later said he said, "Sounds crazy, but I think we'll be all right." I get what he's getting at, I think. It doesn't sound great. I know Timberwolves fans are sick of silver linings and moral victories. It feels like outside of the Jimmy Butler year, that's like 18 of the last 20 years have been, or 19 of the last 20 years have been all about moral victories. That Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio season when they won 40 games, that whole season was the Timberwolves underperforming their point differentials. And it was always silver linings of, the team should be better, but it was losing the close games. You can point out how many years in history, in Timberwolves history, that have been hung on moral victories. That's, I don't think necessarily where Russell's going with this. I think what I said earlier is the best way to say it. You can have progress without claiming a moral victory or without being okay with losing. Progress looks like only having a terrible 12 minutes. It doesn't matter when it is. I mean, in some of these other games, their worst stints were in the second quarter instead of the fourth quarter. If you have a 12-minute stretch or an 8-minute stretch as bad as the Wolves have had, you're going to lose every game. You can't just tank 8 minutes of a game or 12 minutes of a game and expect to win. In this case, it was the fourth quarter against a really good team. And yeah, the Nuggets are 1-4, but everybody knows they're better than that. So I understand where D'Lo's going with his comments. And I do think there are some positive things to take out of this game. Certainly Anthony Edwards continuing to improve, certainly some encouraging momentum for D'Angelo Russell. I think Ed Davis played better than he's played. I think Jarrett Culver had another really good game. It was just kind of collectively as a team, as a unit, they really struggled in the fourth quarter in this game. And that happens sometimes. And I think it's okay to focus on the fact that they played pretty well for 36 minutes and really well for the 12 minutes that preceded their terrible 12 minutes. The third quarter was a great quarter for the Timberwolves. Malik Beasley, D'Angelo Russell were great. The defense was solid. And they turned a 7-point deficit into a 1-point lead. You know, they were plus 8 for the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, everything just went completely down the tubes. And I think both can be true. I think both could be true, that we could be disappointed in the fourth quarter, acknowledge that it doesn't make sense to just say, hey, moral victory, silver lining, I think we're better than this type of a thing. It's okay to not do that and still be okay that still acknowledge that the team played better leading into that fourth quarter. Clearly, things still need to be fixed. Defensively, especially in this game, the offense looked a lot better, but some guys still need some confidence offensively. They still only shot 32% from three. I mean, Rubio, Reed, Lehman combined to go 0 for 7 from three, throwing Hernan Gomez 0 for 10 from three, whereas you had D'Lo, Malik Beasley combined to go 7 of 12, and then a bunch of other guys, you know, Edwards 1 of 3, Culver 1 of 4. So, I mean, Rubio is going to make one out of every three. Nas is going to make one out of every three. All three of those guys are pretty average 3-point shooters. They're going to be around the 33% mark, and they combine to go 0 for 7. That's not going to happen every night. You make a couple more of those, and suddenly that run doesn't look so bad, and you're a little bit more in the game at the end. And you can say that about any game. I just think that for the most part, the offense looked better. The shots just weren't falling. This is a team that's going to make some of those open shots. The problem in this one was defensively down the stretch. Part of that is the Nuggets executing extremely well offensively. Jokic was basically unstoppable, mostly as a distributor, but also a little bit as a scorer down the stretch. And this is the first close game the Wolves have played in without Karl-Anthony Towns. They were blown out each of the last three times. Towns was out there against both the Pistons and the Jazz, and the Wolves won both of those games. And, a top 20-ish player in the league is definitely going to make a huge difference, and especially with the way he'd been playing defensively earlier this season. So the Wolves are going to need to figure out a way to win close games without him. The progress in this one was that they were in a close game, at least at the start of the fourth quarter. They just didn't respond in the way that, you know, against a good team that decided to buckle down and play well against a team that hasn't played well in the Timberwolves. So there's a lot to clean up, certainly, but there are some positives to take from this game. It definitely feels a lot different than some of the other, I guess, than the last three games. On the injury front, Josh Okogie is getting closer to returning. Saunders basically just said he's closer than Towns and Mike start to get some work in this week. Jalen Noel is the closest. It sounds like he's already practicing, so perhaps we'll see him on Tuesday. The Wolves could certainly use his scoring punch, and he can give some wing minutes when guys like Jake Lehman or Culver or some of those guys are struggling. Noel's one of those guys who can come in and hit a couple shots and maybe get some offense rolling. And like I said before, right now, say for the fourth quarter against Denver, that's basically the Wolves' biggest issue is offensive continuity, shot making, and Noel can help with those things. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked on Wolves. Of course, we'll be back on Tuesday to preview Wolves Nuggets, talk power rankings, look ahead at the rest of the week. Of course, this podcast is daily, Monday through Friday. So be sure to be subscribed to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. That's at Locked on T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked on. You'll get 20% off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked on Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.